Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for SN Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everyone. You're with Dolores Fiché of Food by Flavors. We're back talking about tastes and flavors and things that make us warm and fuzzy inside. Talking about that, I've been feeling a bit nostalgic. Maybe the sound of music did it, watching all those old songs come to life on the stage. And I was thinking of why we eat, what we eat, how recipes evolve, why we cook what we cook. And before we get ahead and before I talk to special guests again, I'm just going to read you something that Nigella Lawson wrote in the foreword of her book, How to Eat. One beautiful thing that she talks about is that her book is not called What to Eat, but it's called How to Eat. And how we eat really is an expression of what we are, our culture, our origins, our childhoods, all that comes together in how we eat. So she says here, cooking is not just about joining the dots, following one recipe slavishly and then moving on to the next. It's about developing an understanding of food, a sense of assurance in the kitchen, about the simple desire to make yourself something to eat. And in cooking, you must please yourself to please others. Strangely, it can take enormous confidence to trust your own palate and follow your own instincts. Without habit, which itself is just trial and error, this can be harder than following the most elaborate of recipes. But it's what works and what's important. She goes on to say that the gastronomic awakening in the world has been, to a huge extent, restaurant-led. And what we really eat in our houses is not restaurant-led. So she says, I'm not a chef. I'm not even a trained or professional cook. My qualification is as an eater. I cook what I want to eat within limits. And for me personally, I know, and I always do say this in my event business and in all my functions, I think if you give people good, wholesome food, whatever it is, on a plate that's made with a sense of love and a sense of loving what you're doing, it always can rise above any fabulous, ostentatious meal. So she goes on to say and says, an indifferently leg of lamb is not transformed by a source of hot raspberry jam, nor a plate of watery consommé improved by an addition of 3 glacé cherries. With food, authenticity is not the same as originality. Indeed, they are often at odds. So we're going to talk about authentic recipes, about comfort food, about pleasing our palates. And I'm going to start off by talking about roast chicken. A very basic roast chicken that I always do when we're in search of that comfort feel, something from the past, something to lead us to forward, is take a whole chicken, rub it generously with some olive oil. I use a lot of molten salt and some cracked black pepper. Chop one bunch of dill, a teaspoon of sumac, a teaspoon of paprika. You can use the smoked paprika if you prefer. A teaspoon of chili flakes. You can use these sparingly or according to how you love the heat on the chicken. And rub it all generously. I love to grate over some lemon rind and the zest of 2 lemons. I sometimes even add extra lemon. Once your chicken is prepared, line a baking tray with baking paper. Place your chicken on it. Rub generously and bake for about an hour or just over an hour, turning the chicken halfway and cooked till completely white and fleshy on the inside and crusty on the outside. What I sometimes find is just to turn on the grill afterwards for 5 minutes or so, watching it and just getting that crusty burnt little bits on the chicken. That recipe is so easy, super simple for a weekday night, and you can use it with fish. I use it with a white fish. I've been loving the sea bass lately and have been using a lot of sea bass. So if you can get your hands on some sea bass, that recipe works just as well with sea bass. Another recipe I'm going to share with you is another chicken dish. And again, it's all interchangeable. You can use it on a brisket. You can use it on a scotch fillet. You can use it on fish. This recipe would work with a salmon too. So again, you can use 2 kilos of chicken pieces or a whole chicken, a tablespoon of olive oil, 2 large onions, a green pepper, a red pepper, 3 cloves of crushed garlic, a generous sprinkling of cumin seeds, some sweet paprika, chicken stock powder, which you dissolve in a cup of water. So I would use 2 heaped tablespoons in a cup of water, a half a cup of tomato sauce, a dash of white vinegar, a quarter cup of chili sauce, a dash of soy, and some honey. And again, there are no rules here. I cook the onions, the peppers, the garlic, and the cumin seeds until soft and fragrant. I add the chicken and cook until the pieces are well sealed. So here you can either do it as a whole chicken in a bigger pan or chicken pieces. Again, I love the thighs. I find them juicier. You can use deboned thighs if you wish, and it also works on breasts. The last thing you would do is sprinkle with the paprika, mix it all well, mix the rest of your liquidy sauces, pour over, and bake for at least 1.5 hours. I like to baste every 15 minutes. And right at the end, drizzle some honey over your chicken and bake for another 10 minutes or until nicely browned. So there you have 2 very easy recipes which you can interchange with chicken, with fish, with a brisket, with a scotch fillet. Even I love chickpeas and lentils tossed in a dish, and I use this kind of spicy sauce over. It's a delicious addition to a salad or to top roast vegetables, etc. We're going to cross over now. Oh, we're not ready to. Oh, we are ready to cross over. So while we're talking about our favorite things, one of our favorite things is for sure ice cream, always, any season, any time of day or night. What's the world without a delicious ice cream? And joining me now is Paul Ballen of Paul's. Welcome, Paul.
Ah, thanks so much.
Thanks for being on the show. So we're talking about comfort food. We're talking about our favorite tastes. I think for me, ice cream's a perennial. People eat it all day. At any occasion, ice cream can grace a table. Tell me what's trending at the moment with ice cream. What are people buying? And are there staples that people come back for all the time?
There's a huge trend towards, obviously, dairy-free ice creams. Obviously, a lot of people are lactose intolerant, and a lot of people are looking for some dairy alternative solutions. So, obviously, that's quite a trend globally.
For sure.
And obviously, we're spending a lot of time and effort working on some dairy alternative ice cream products. There's also quite a trend towards soft serve. It's obviously quite a nostalgic product. Obviously, there's soft serve and soft serve. Most of it's like very cheap and nasty, but I think that there's quite a demand for something that's a bit more premium and high quality.
Okay, so how do you serve that in your shops?
But not currently. That's something that might be in the pipeline at some point in time.
Okay.
But obviously our current focus is purely ice cream. Sorbets, dairy-free ice creams, as well as obviously dairy as well.
And what do you find people come back to? What are your popular flavors? I know that
it's
always...
actually funny. Like, people are quite... people sometimes like the unusual, but we find that people sort of come back for the same flavors. Obviously, we're really well known for specific flavors. So there's things like your chocolate Nutella Oreo, your birthday cake flavor, salted caramel dark chocolate, and your cookies and cream. Those are generally sort of the more popular flavors. Some people will come to the store and try the different flavors, but you'll find that a lot of people sort of stick to the standards.
For sure. And in the sorbet range, are there flavors that are more popular than others?
Yeah, so we've just launched some new sorbets. We've made a delicious mango granadilla, a coconut pineapple, which is really like tropical and delicious, and a raspberry as well.
Wow, that sounds delicious. And tell us, when you're hankering for something sweet, what would you go for?
I'm not such a like cakey person, so I generally like a really good quality chocolate.
Okay, fair enough. And in your and out of your flavors, what's your favorite? Oh, I've lost Paul there. Let's try get him back. We've lost Paul. We'll get him back in just a few minutes.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Sorry, we had lost you there for a second, Paul. You were telling us your favorite flavors in your store. What would you opt for if you're going to have an ice cream or sorbet?
Probably the Vietnamese coffee Oreo. It's sort of like a sweet coffee flavor with Oreo pieces.
Delicious.
Another one is butter cake, which is like a gooey butter cake, like a chewy sweet cake with a cream cheese ice cream. Or something that's obviously a dairy alternative would be the vegan dark chocolate.
Great. So the vegans can happily find something at Paul's.
Yeah, yeah.
And are your sorbets gluten-free? That's always a question that I get asked.
All gluten-free.
Everything's gluten-free. Amazing. Thank you for adding some sweetness to our show, and thanks for your time.
Sure.
Good luck with your soft serves.
Thanks so much.
I know, guys, when I serve soft serves at functions, we always think it's just for kids, but the adults are always there first, and they love the chocolates, the sprinkles, the frozen jelly tots, the Smarties, whatever you can, they can add to a soft serve. I think it just brings back something of their past, something from their childhood, and it's just, it's wonderful to see everyone having fun with ice cream. While we're talking about sweetness, I'm going to share with you one of my plum crisp recipes. And before I do, I'm just going to read you a short poem. As I said, I'm feeling nostalgic today. This one's William Carlos Williams, and I've always just loved the simplicity of it. And he writes, "I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox, and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious, so sweet, and so cold." And that's just always been something that lived with me ever since I studied English literature many years ago. And one of the things that I love to do is make a plum crisp. So I'm going to share the recipe with you. And again, you can interchange plums for nectarines, for white nectarines, for peaches, for anything that you fancy, and add some blueberries to the mix too. So here we go. What you'll need is 1 punnet of plums, 1 1/4 cups of caster sugar, 1 cup of light brown sugar, 1 1/2 cups of cake flour, any all-purpose flour, 2 punnets of blueberries, a pinch of salt, 1 cup of quick cooking oatmeal, and here I use one of the jungle oat mixtures, and 500 grams of cold unsalted butter, which I diced beforehand. So what I do is I immerse the plums in boiling water just for a minute or two, and then immediately place them in cold water. It's then very easy to skin them. So I peel very gently and slice them into thick wedges and place them in a bowl. To that, I add a little bit of orange zest or lemon zest if you prefer, 1/4 cup of the sugar, 1/2 cup of the brown sugar, and 2 tablespoons of the flour. Toss well together and gently then mix in the blueberries. I allow this to sit for a few minutes, 4 to 5 minutes, and if there's a lot of liquid, you can add 1 more tablespoon of the flour. Pour the mixture into a baking dish and gently smooth on the top, and then combine 1 1/2 cups of flour, 1 cup of your caster sugar, 1/2 cup of your brown sugar, your pinch of salt, your oatmeal, and your cold sliced diced butter. Gently blend this with an electric mixer, and you know me, I like my old fashioned hand blender for this. Mix on a low speed until the butter is very small, almost pea-sized, and the mixture is crumbly. Generously sprinkle this over your plums and blueberries and bake for at least an hour until the top is browned and crisp and the juices are bubbly. You can serve that immediately. It keeps for at least 1 day out of the fridge, and the next day you can put in the fridge if it even lasts that long. And that would be delicious with a scoop of ice cream for sorbet, for those who hanker after sorbet. But I think with this kind of a fruity dish, I love to always serve a vanilla ice cream or a halva ice cream or a coffee ice cream, something rich and creamy. So there we have something sweet and nostalgic. And that works any time of year. And as I say, you can use it with any fruit that you desire.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
We're talking cooking, recipes, flavors, tastes, and comfort food. I've shared with you some of my comfort food. And I'm going to share with you a few more before we talk to Sharon Glass about her comfort food and favorite go-to recipes. So one person who always has such an authenticity about the way she does things is Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa. If you've ever watched her on TV, she's just so natural and so indulgent and passionate about what she does, and it just shines through in everything and in her recipes. And in one of her books, this is what she writes: "Cooking and writing recipes is for me an evolutionary process. I'm constantly revising the recipes I use. I believe a cookbook is just a starting place for cooks. I love to use fresh lemon juice, garlic, mustard, and caramelized onions when I cook, but you may prefer cilantro and jalapenos. I think it is very important to give recipes your own style. Use those margins by each recipe to make your own notes. Professionals don't make up recipes out of thin air. They evolve from things they've tasted or read. You can do the same by being a little adventurous with these recipes." Food at the Barefoot Contessa, I soon found out, is about more than dinner. It's about coming home and being taken care of. It's about mom. I actually think that the food our mothers made may not be what we're nostalgic for. It's more an emotional picture of a mother who was there, knew what we needed, let us run free when we wanted to explore. Food is about nurturing, not only physical, but also emotional nurturing. I just loved that passage. And she ends off by saying, "Food is not about impressing people. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's about making them feel comfortable." And for me, and when I entertain or when I have guests, for me, it's about being social, being comfortable, no airs and graces, nothing fancy, just simple food on a platter. And when we think of simple food, one of the things we think about has to be potatoes. So I'm going to give you two recipes with my take on two different ways of potatoes as comfort food. The one is a baked dish, so easy and can be done so quickly for a weekday meal, or can impress, if you want to impress, at a dinner, a larger dinner, and again, change the recipe according to your whims and to your fancies, and it'll always work. So for this, 3 large potatoes, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper, 100 grams of mozzarella. I love to actually use mozzarella and feta. I think it makes a creamier bake. 12 cherry tomatoes, which I've halved or quartered. 5 spring onions, which I've chopped. 2 eggs. 3 heaped tablespoons of smooth cream cheese. Some garlic powder. And we are ready to start. You can also add a little bit of nutmeg. And you can add a little bit of cream or milk. Parmesan and basil, of course, will finish the dish for you. So I like to always line my dish with some baking paper. I even love presenting with the baking paper showing, and I love it when the bits of the baking paper go brown at the ends. It doesn't bother me at all. So boil your potatoes and then transfer onto baking paper into any kind of casserole or flat baking tin that you want to serve in. Press it very firmly in, creating sides with the potatoes. You're making a potato bake. Drizzle with the olive oil, sprinkle with some salt, and bake simply at 180 for about 40 minutes. You're then going to add your mozzarella, and I say I add mozzarella and some crumbled feta, your tomatoes, your spring onion. You can add torn spinach leaves and some basil. In a separate dish, you're going to whisk your eggs, your cream cheese, your salt, your pepper, your garlic. And I like to add a dash of cream. You can leave off the cream if you want to, not if you want the dish not so rich. Pour it over the potatoes and bake for another 30 to 35 minutes until everything has settled and all the flavors have just mingled beautifully. Your dish is then ready to serve. Sprinkle with some Parmesan cheese. I like to take some fresh basil and just throw it over in one heap. And there you have a delicious potato bake. One other dish that I'm going to share with you is my take of a potato salad. So this is a combination of a traditional classic potato salad and the more French-style herbed vinaigrette potato salad. So what I like to do here is take 2 bags of baby potatoes. I like to boil it, and when I boil it, I put in just a dash of white wine and some salt and a little bit of chicken stock. You can use the powder of chicken stock. Just to give it a bit of flavor. I like to boil the potatoes for 30 minutes just until they're cooked through, and then drain in a colander. Place a towel over, and this actually allows them to steam for a further 10 minutes or so. I then place them in a medium bowl, and I toss a little bit of wine and chicken stock over. I then like to tear in some rocket and some dill or whatever fresh herbs you have, and I combine some vinegar, some mustard, salt, pepper, and slowly whisk in some olive oil to make an emulsion. This makes a delicious vinaigrette. And lastly, I add some spring onion, a little bit more salt and pepper. I like to serve the salad as a warm salad. It works deliciously with fish or chicken. Pour it over just before you're ready, but serve it warm or at room temperature, never cold. So there you have two delicious takes on potatoes. We're now going to cross over to Sharon Glass. Sharon, you're becoming a household name on the show. Not that you're not a household name. You've taught thousands of girls and women and ladies and men and everyone to cook in the city and across the world. And I thought who best and better to talk about comfort food than you. Welcome to our show.
Thanks, Dolores. Always nice to chat to you, even if it's only on the
radio. Yes, indeed. So I remember once I had a conversation with you long ago, many years ago, when I was just starting out, and I said, I feel that all I ever want to eat is like wholesome food, greasy food. And you said it's because of the way we work with food all the time, that at the end of a night, you really just want to tuck into a hamburger or French fries or something comforting or delicious, which may not always be the healthier option, but that's really what chefs and cooks and asses feel like. So tell us, when you're busy, what is your comfort food? What is your go-to dish?
So I have two. One is a chicken pie, because I think it's just easy. It can be prepared ahead of time. My husband's favorite thing to order when we go out is chicken pie. It's like a standard food that's not too complicated, and you can add or take out whatever you like. I don't do layers at the bottom of pastry. I literally just put the pastry on top.
Okay.
And you can option out and do sliced, very thinly sliced potatoes on a mandolin if you didn't want the puff pastry, for example. So the recipe is very simple, because you're going to buy a ready cooked chicken.
Okay.
Cut it into or break it into big pieces. You're going to make a white sauce, and the recipe which I've sent you is basically either butter or coconut oil as your base, or marge, but I don't like to use marge.
Yeah,
and a bit of onion, some mushrooms, some people like carrots and peas. I make it as simple as possible, because I like to, first of all, I like to use the chicken if it's left over. That's number one. And second of all, I then make a really nice flavorful white sauce with flour, regular milk or almond milk, and lots of chicken stock powder. So okay, the chicken stock powder will give you that richness.
For sure.
So if you're not kosher, you can add cream, and if you are kosher, you'll add a bit more milk to it.
Yes.
The trick, I think, is that it's got to be quite creamy. You actually need more liquid than you think, because it's going to be dry otherwise.
Okay.
So particularly if you make it a day ahead of time. So what we do, because we only two in the house, I make small ones.
Yes.
Freeze them, unbaked, and then just take them out, defrost, and either air fry for 20 minutes or bake in the oven for 20 to 25 minutes. And you can literally do that 2 days ahead of time. So you're not, you know, I think, especially if you don't feel like making a lot of last minute things, it's a nice thing to make.
For sure.
Ahead of time, and it's comforting, you know. Yeah. A lovely salad with it, a simple salad, so all you need. You
chicken
don't need anything
delicious.
Else.
Delicious. I actually also sometimes do it little mini ones, and I use a muffin pan.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I put a little bit of baking paper and then the chicken, and then you, as you say, you can top it with the potato, or I use puff pastry or whatever.
Correct. But the big thing is, don't roll the puff pastry so it stays thicker. Either do a lattice pattern if you want to be creative, or just stick it over, brush it with some beaten egg, and make a little hole for the steam in the top. So if another option is also to put paper cookie cups in
yes,
your muffin tin.
Yes.
And then you can actually just use those as to hold them. But I would spray them so that they don't stick to the cookie cups instead of the baking paper.
Yes.
And my next favorite is my easy vegetarian lasagna, which is actually in the Meals in Minutes cookbook. But if I could tell you, sometimes I forget about it. And every time somebody makes it, they say to me, that's my go-to recipe. Whenever somebody says, what can I bring you? I say, I'm taking the vegetarian lasagna. And it's not that it's full of vegetables. It's just that it's so easy.
Share
so you literally
us.
Are going
yes.
to use ready-made any Napolitano sauce from any store or your own, whatever you've got.
Okay.
You make a white sauce, so butter, flour, milk, nice and thick. Your lasagna sheets, either fresh or the dry ones, which you do need to boil because they need to have quite a lot of liquid. A few soft mozzarella balls. If you don't have mozzarella balls, grated mozzarella. Bit of pesto. And the secret is not to spread the pesto really thick. It's to dot it.
Okay.
So you're literally going to layer it. And when you layer it, it's two layers pretty much with the lasagna sheets in the middle. And then you can bake it straight away on 180 for about 35 or 40 minutes. Pierce it in the middle to make sure the lasagna sheets are done, or make it ahead of time, put it in the fridge for a day or two, and if you're taking it somewhere, pre-bake it and finish it off there, you know. And it is the nicest, most delicious, easy one. I sometimes add mushrooms to that if I feel like it.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes mushrooms. It doesn't need major veggies. And if you don't eat lasagna sheets, you could actually do sliced zucchini on a mandolin, very
yes.
thin ribbons, but you've got to salt them and dry them off so that they're not watery.
Watery.
And
yes.
that can be your layers.
I find that
easy.
Sometimes vegetables in the freezer do get watery. A lot of the lasagnas or asparagus
yes.
especially, things do get watery in the freezer. Is there anything to combat
exactly.
that? Are there any handy hints on that score?
You know what? Not really, because unfortunately the problem with any of those vegetables is that they've got water, which obviously comes out once it's been defrosted. So I would say keep it in the fridge rather than freeze.
Yeah.
But once you've actually blanched them and dried them, so in other words, in a pot of boiling water
yes.
or just throw boiling water over for 1 minute and dry them very well, you actually remove most of that residual liquid in the fresh vegetable.
Okay.
And the thinner you slice, the better.
The better.
So that is an option. I mean, it does actually work, but I like the fridge part the best.
Great.
And as you know, we like to be ready, not rushing around at the last minute,
for
you know.
Sure.
So those are my two go-to recipes. And every time I make either of those, it's like, gosh, we haven't made this for so long.
For sure.
Why don't we make this ever, you know?
I think we all sometimes make the same things when we entertain. I know that I have certain go-to 100. Recipes that, and they work and people love it. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a bit of I need to change it up a bit. I get sick of making the same thing. So when they come to me, they always get something interesting and different.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you working with food,
sure.
I don't know, I think you probably want to just get anybody to make something for you.
Anything. I'll eat anything. I'll eat anything.
100%.
And what's your favorite go-to
us?
Food?
No. No, mine is sushi, not comfort food, sushi.
Oh, really?
I love sushi. So yeah, a really good sushi, that's mine. And I don't need a lot of it, just enough. But otherwise, yeah, a burger.
Yeah.
Very good chips, very good French fries, and the burger.
Yeah.
For that's
sure.
my best.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just a quick trick out of interest.
Yes.
I know it's got nothing to do with this, but on the burger thing, if you ever make them, make a little dent in the top, put an ice cube. Put them on the bra.
Wow. I think we've lost Sharon there.
Water will keep... I know, my husband was driving in and connected to his car kit. Sorry.
Sorry.
The water will keep the burger very moist. It is the best trick we ever learned.
That's so interesting.
So an ice cube, a dent in the patty... And you will be amazed at how beautiful this chicken, this hamburger comes out.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Sharon Glass, chef, author, wonderful woman around town. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Always, anytime, Dee. And
thank you.
Many happy cooking hours.
Thank you, thank you. Good.
Okay, nice chatting.
You too.
Bye.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking food, comfort food, go-to food. We all have our family favorites. We all have the staples that we go to again and again. One thing that I turn to as comfort food is a really good stew. I love a lamb stew, a beef stew. It just offers such warmth. I love it any time of year. I'm going to share with you a simple stew recipe. You can use lamb or beef, whichever you prefer. If you use beef, I like to have it a good few days ahead and marinate it. And again, just garlic, some lemon, a little bit of balsamic, salt, pepper. I sometimes add a little bit of chutney for sweetness. I've been using beef shin a lot. And if you get it a few days in advance, it really ages in the fridge while you're marinating. And I first boil it, and then I boil it with the marinade and the water, and it still retains that delicious flavor. And then we put it on the braai or the grill very quickly. So beef shin is a great option for stew, but you can use any cut that you wish. And lamb, I love to use a lamb goulash, and I even love to sometimes use a whole lamb, the whole debone shoulder, which I use. Again, marinate very gently and with just fresh flavors, some rosemary, some fresh herbs chopped. And I like to sear it in a pan. If you want it in pieces, you can cut it up into squares and fry it very gently in a little bit of oil, and then use that as your base. Or I sometimes just sear it so it's not completely cooked through, and then the way I'm going to share with you now is add your vegetables to it and make a beautiful casserole in the oven or even on a stovetop. So here you're going to take 4 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 large white onions which you've sliced or diced finely. I even sometimes love to use the red onions. They add a sweetness to a casserole or to a stew. 4 cloves of fresh garlic, 2 stalks of celery which you've chopped, 4 sprigs of thyme, 1 teaspoon of oregano. I love to toss in a generous handful of bay leaves, 4 carrots which I slice or cut lengthways, whichever tickles my fancy that day. You can use fresh tomatoes that again you've immersed in hot water and peeled and made your own chopped fresh tomatoes, or you can use 3 tins of chopped tomato. There's some really good ones on the market and readily available. 400 ml of water, which I mix with some chicken stock or veg stock. 1/2 bottle of dry white wine. And a good sprinkling of parsley and oregano as fresh herbs also. And then I like to take the onions, the garlic, the celery. I gently fry it all up. Add my carrots and potatoes and just toss it in the pan just for a few minutes. I then add everything together in one pot or in one casserole dish. You can even use this as a slow cooker and use it as a very slow cooked dish. I love to do it even as a whole debone shoulder of lamb, and once it's all cooked through 3 or 4 hours very slowly on a low heat, 140-150 max, 160 would be the max. I love to pull the lamb apart. We've been doing that at functions, and people love this pulled lamb. It's soft, it's tender, it's succulent. The vegetables just all mingle with the tastes. And again, you can go for the more Greek flavors, you go for the Italian flavors, whichever you wish and whatever you prefer. Another thing that I've been doing lately is making curried rice or curried couscous. So I'm going to share with you one recipe before we sign out. Couscous is so easy to use, and one trick that I learned many years ago is that you just add 1 tablespoon of olive oil to your couscous, and it doesn't stick. It's so easy then. So your hot water, your boiling hot water. I use a glass Pyrex dish for my couscous always. Put the couscous. I sometimes chop in some finely fried vegetables, peppers, mushrooms, zucchini, butternut, whatever, but very, very small pieces. Add that to the couscous. But for this particular dish, I take the couscous, add in some olive oil, just a sprinkling of olive oil, and your hot water, cover it with a towel or plastic wrap, and then gently fork through after about 5 minutes. For this dish then, afterwards, you can add some curry powder, some ground turmeric, some Maldon salt, cracked black pepper, carrots, some dried currants, thinly sliced almonds, two chopped spring onions, and a small diced red onion. Toss it all together, and there you have a delicious curried couscous. If you're doing a milk meal, you can happily serve it with a dollop of thick white yogurt, and it just adds to the meal. You can serve it with fish or just as a side vegetable. That's delicious.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back. We've been talking tastes. We've spoken to Paul Ballin about sorbet and ice cream and everyone's favorite soft serves, which he'll be introducing hopefully soon into the marketplace. And we've spoken to Sharon Glass about her go-to recipes, chicken pie and veg lasagna. Yum, yum. My go-to, as we all know, is bread and butter. I love that with a cup of tea. It's my best always. It's my comfort food. It's my go-to food. And it just makes me feel better. So before I sign out, my son Tyler shared with me this beautiful piece from Marcel Proust from Swan's Way, and I'm just going to share it with you. Sorry, it's been a bit nostalgic today. We've been talking about old flavors, new flavors, but of course it's all about food. It's our stories. It's how we navigate our world and how we share our lives with people around a table. So here we go. Mechanically weary after a dull day with the prospect of a depressing morrow, I raised to my lips a spoonful of the tea in which I had soaked a morsel of the cake. No sooner had the warm liquid and the crumbs with it touched my palate than a shudder ran through my whole body, and I stopped, intent upon the extraordinary changes that were taking place. An exquisite pleasure had invaded my senses, but individual, detached, with no suggestion of its origin. And at once the vicissitudes of life had become indifferent to me, its disasters innocuous, its brevity illusory. I had ceased now to feel mediocre, accidental, mortal. Whence could it have come to me, this all-powerful joy? And that for me sums up our relationship with food, how we eat, as Nigella says, what we eat, what we cook, what we share. I always say we have to eat, so make it joyous and make it a celebration. When my children were very little, I used to say, it's just easy to take the cottage cheese and put it in a bowl on the table. It looks better, and if it looks better, it's for sure, most of the time, tastes better. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Thanks for always listening. Have a beautiful, tasty week ahead, and happy cooking.